This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakallah khair for being with us this evening, and alhamdulillah, we've reached the seventh night of Ramadan. 1 week has now passed, and we have to ask ourselves, with 1 week having completed itself and only another 3 weeks or so remaining, have we achieved the objectives? Are we on track to achieve that objective of taqwa, having our sins forgiven, getting closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us in what we have done thus far of fasting and salah and other good deeds. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the strength to increase in our good deeds for what remains of the month. Ameen. Walhamdulillah. We continue with our tafsir of Juz Amma. And we mentioned yesterday that Surah Al-Duha and Surah Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak were revealed together at a time when the Prophet ﷺ was going through tremendous hardship, tremendous emotional turmoil. That inside the stress and the hardship of being a Nabi and the rejection he was receiving from his people was taking a toll on him emotionally. And he was getting to the point where he was about to break down. And subhanAllah, all of us will go through days like that. All of us will go through moments in our life where we feel the world is too much for us to handle, when work or family or our children, financial burdens will weigh down on us so much that we feel that we don't have the strength to go forward. And it's in those moments and times that we look at these surahs to bring us comfort, to bring us ease, and to remember that ultimately Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the origin of where we came from, and ultimately we will return to Him. Alhamdulillah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins Surah Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak with a question. And it's a similar question to the questions Allah asked in Surah Wadduha. So if you remember in Wadduha, Allah asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did he not find you an orphan and give refuge? Did he not find you in need and give you self-sufficiency? Did he not find you dhalan fahada, find you lost and gave you guidance? These questions were of course rhetorical, and they were asked to the Prophet ﷺ to remind him, look at how far you've come, look at how far you've progressed, and how Allah has been with you all these years. That if you look at, sometimes we focus so much on the bad time that we're going through now that we forget how Allah brought us out of previous bad times and brought about the good times. So Allah asks a similar kind of rhetorical question at the beginning of the surah when Allah says, Alam nashrah laka sadrak, have we not expanded your chest for you? Have we not expanded your chest for you? A number of points on this ayah. Number one, it is, as we said, it's similar to the questions in Surah Wadduha. It's a rhetorical in nature. It is meant to give affirmation to the Prophet ﷺ that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with him. Number two, the word sharaha, alam nashrah, sharaha means to expand or to open, it to spread out. It also means to explain and clarify. So if, for example, if I say, I've explained this hadith, it would say I made sharh of it, I clarified it. So what does the spreading and the expansion of one's chest mean? It's a statement in the Arabic language. And if we look at the Quran, there are 2-3 places in the Quran where this phrase, oh Allah, expand my chest, or Allah expanding the chest. The one place in the Quran which is this mentioned is in the very, very famous dua of Nabi Musa. So Nabi Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, Prophet Moses, when he was lost in the desert and then he came to the burning bush and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to him, Allah said to Nabi Musa, I've chosen you to be my prophet. Go with my message and go and challenge Fir'aun. Go and challenge Pharaoh, who is of course the most powerful man on earth at that time. And Nabi Musa, being burdened with this massive task, the first thing he asks Allah is, Rabbi shrah li sadri, oh my Lord, expand for me my chest. what Nabi Musa is asking, oh Allah, give me the confidence, give me the strength, give me the internal courage to face this massive task. You've given me this huge task. Grant me internally the sincerity, grant me the strength, grant me the positivity to do this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I have already expanded your chest for you. I've already given you the emotional courage to carry this burden. The other place in the Quran with this phrase, the expansion of one's chest, it's mentioned that if Allah wants good for you, He opens your chest towards Islam. He inclines your chest to Islam. Meaning, when you see and you read the commands of Allah and you go through the Quran, and you look at this way of life of Islam, you find in your heart contentment, you find in your heart satisfaction, you find in your heart satisfaction for the decrees of Allah. For good or for bad, you find in your heart no opposition. If Allah wants good for you, then He opens your chest in this manner, that you don't find doubts, you don't find questions, you don't find any ambiguity. Allah clarifies the wisdom for you and you find contentment in that. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless us that we live in a time when the good has become strange and being upright is different to what society tells you. So we ask that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants that these doubts, these ambiguities remove from our chest, and we have certainty and yaqeen and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He expands all our chests towards Islam. There's also another connotation to this ayah. Allah says, did we not expand your chest for you? It could refer to the physical expansion of the chest. We know that the Prophet ﷺ as a young boy, and then later, just before the night of Isra wal Mi'raj, or before the event of the Isra Mi'raj, that Jibreel ﷺ physically cut open the Prophet ﷺ's chest, removed his heart and washed it with zamzam, and filled it with iman, and removed from the heart of Nabi ﷺ a clot, which was the hole that Iblis has on all of us. And this expansion of the chest, of course, Allah says laka in this ayah, meaning for you specifically, that the expansion of his chest that the Prophet received was something unique to no other person. And it's very interesting that in the hadith we find the Sahaba mentioning that they would see on the chest of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam the scar from the cutting that he received, when he was a younger person. So Allah asks this question, and to show the Prophet once again a blessing we gave you. Another point of this ayah, if we compare this to Surah Wadduha, in the questions that Allah asked the Prophet in Surah Wadduha, Alam yajidika yateeman fa'awa, did He not find you an orphan? Did He not find you lost? It was in the third person. In this surah, Allah says, Alam nashrah, did we not expand your chest? So what's the difference between going from a third person to a second person? And again, in the context of a depressed person. So maybe if I can give an example, you are going through depression. Why? Because you feel that your best friend has left you. Now a second friend comes to you and says, you know what, Ahmad, your friend, he has not deserted you. He didn't leave you. He's still with you. He's always been there for you. It's one thing hearing it from a third person, but when your actual friend comes to you and says, I have not left you, I'm still with you. So in Surah Wadduha, it was a third person speaking to the Prophet ﷺ. Here in Surah Alam Nashrah, it is as if though Allah Himself is saying to the Prophet ﷺ, did we not open your chest for you? To give him that added emphasis. The next ayah, Allah says, Alam nashrah laka sadrak wa wada'na anka wizrak alladhi anqadha dhahrak. Did we not lift or remove from you the wizr? Wizr is the burden. Alladhi anqadha dhahrak. This burden which is breaking your back. This burden which is weighing down on you so much that you're about to crack. Wizr, as I said, is a burden. And anqadha is when you put something heavy on a table or a chair and it begins to crack and splinter, it's about to snap. So Allah is saying this burden, this wizard, which is a burden that you can't manage on your own, was on your back and you're about to, you know, be broken with this burden. We remove this from you. Did we not remove it from you? And what is this burden? Allah doesn't explain what the burden is, but from other ayat in the Quran, for example, In Surah Al-Kahf, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَلَأَلَّكَ بَاحِيُ النَّفْسَكَ عَلَىٰ آثَارِهِمْ إِلَّمْ يُؤْمِنُوا بِهَذَا الْحَدِيثِ أَسَفَ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will you destroy yourself in grief at those who don't accept this message, at those who don't accept this revelation, that it concerned the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much for every single human being that was not on guidance, that he genuinely loved every single person and wanted to save them, their life in the dunya and their life in the akhirah. His worst of enemies, he would pray for them, he would make dua for them, they would insult him during the day. In the evenings, he would go and he would make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guided them. Abu Jahl, there's a reported hadith where the Prophet ﷺ made dua that, oh Allah, let Abu Jahl come towards Islam. This is his main enemy and the person who gave him the worst kind of treatment and abuse. And the Prophet ﷺ made dua for him. And it's akin to someone, you know, if you're trying to save someone's life, and if they just were to take this remedy, it would save their life. And yet people obviously turn away, and each time someone died on disbelief, it internally hurt the Prophet ﷺ, and it became a burden for him, seeing that after so many years, only a few people were embracing Islam. This was his burden. This was one of the difficulties he received. Also, there's a physical connotation that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that this Quran is qawlan thaqila. It is something so heavy that if it were to be placed on a mountain, the mountain would shatter. Sahaba would mention that the Prophet ﷺ, when he would be on a camel, and if he received the revelation while being on the camel, then the camel would have to sit down because a physical weight would be placed on him. It was physically taxing. It was physically very difficult on the Prophet ﷺ to receive a revelation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that this burden of guiding humanity, of being the last of the Anbiya, of being the final messenger, of having to save people from Jahannam, of having to carry this amana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has expanded his chest, given him the emotional and physical courage, given him the iman to bear this burden. Again, if we draw a parallel to Nabi Musa, Nabi Musa again gets this massive task, go to Fir'aun and call him to Islam. And the Nabi Musa alayhi salam says, Rabbi shrah li sadri, O Allah, open for me my chest. And he asks a very interesting point. He says, وَجَعَلْ لِي وَزِيرًا مِنْ أَهْلِي هَارُونَ أَخِي. O Allah, give me a helper. This word wazir, again from wizard, burden. Give me someone who will manage or balance the burden with me. Give me a supporter. Haruna akhi, my brother, Harun. This is Prophet Harun. So Nabi Musa is saying, this burden is too much for me to carry one man alone. Give me someone to share the burden. Prophet ﷺ didn't have a Harun. He had his Sahaba, of course, but as a Nabi, he was alone. So Allah says, I have lifted the burden from you. Allah has helped him to bear this burden. وَوَضَعْنَا أَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَلَ ظَهْرَكَ وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And this ayah, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, is one of the miracles of the Quran. In the context of the surah, the Prophet ﷺ, from his perspective, he was at of the lowest point in his life. Emotionally, he was at the lowest point in his life, and he actually felt like, you know, for lack of a better word, he felt as if though he was failing as a messenger, failing as a Nabi, failing as a prophet. And Allah says, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, that we have raised your dhikr, your mention, very high. We have raised your mention and your name and your status exceptionally high. To the Prophet ﷺ, it must have seemed odd, since he was at the lowest point in emotionally, and in terms of results, he's only managed to bring a handful of people to Islam, whereas the majority of the world was still in darkness. And Allah says he has already raised the status of the Prophet ﷺ. In a few years from that point, within a decade or so, the Prophet ﷺ would have achieved all his objectives. And today, when we look with hindsight, there is, in reality, whether you're a Muslim or not, you have to, you know, you have to admit that subhanAllah, this man who came, you know, from the middle of nowhere, in the middle of the desert, who didn't have parents, didn't have a fortune, wasn't a king, didn't have huge armies, didn't have even education, so to speak, changed the world. That subhanAllah, Abu Bakr and Umar, Uthman, Ali, Muawiyah, Abdullah ibn Zubayr, six or seven people that he personally taught would go on to rule the world, would be the greatest people, would be the most powerful people on earth. These were the products of his teaching and his mission. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that your reputation has been made high, that your name is, your dhikr, your name is going to be very, very high. There is no person on earth whose life has been so meticulously documented that we know exactly how he prayed, how he ate, how he slept, how he walked, the number of grey hairs in his beard that when he passed away. SubhanAllah, we know every single detail about his life. And 1.5 billion people not only love him, but ascribe to emulate him, to try and be like him, to look like him, act like him, speak like him. This Ramadan, 1.5 billion people would try and fast in emulation of him, SubhanAllah. What other person can claim to have achieved this? Allah says, we have raised your state, your status and your dhikr very, very high. And the fact that SubhanAllah, Allah himself says that he makes salawat on the Prophet, inna Allah malaikatahu salluna ala nabi, that Allah and his angels are continuously, forever and always, praising and sending salawat on the Prophet and the believers. Every single day in their salah, five times a day, they send salawat, praise upon the Prophet ﷺ. So truly, even though the Nabi ﷺ felt that he was at a low point in his life, Allah says, don't worry, your dhikr is made very, very high. And we 1,500 years later, can fully see and experience this. His name, in fact, SubhanAllah, his name is a miracle. His name is Muhammad, which is the one who receives praise, the one who will receive salawat, the one who will receive prestige. SubhanAllah, this is his name. And he is the most praised individual that ever walked the earth, not just from a perspective of a Muslim, but from an objective perspective. No one's name is praised daily as his name is praised, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah is mentioning to the Prophet in his depression four blessings: that I've opened your chest, I've removed the burden, I've made it easy on your back, and I've raised your name, and I've praised, and you have a high level of praise. Fa inna ma'al usri yusra. So what is the point of mentioning all these things? Allah is now saying, two ayat, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that verily with the hardship is ease, surely with the hardship is ease. Allah repeats this ayah twice. And if we look at this ayah, and the translation is not a true reflection of the ayah, if we look at the ayah in front of you, you would see that فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا, that verily with the hardship comes ease. Hardship is definite. There is a the or an al in front of it. And ease is left indefinite. So Allah is saying, verily, the hardship, with the hardship comes ease. And the benefit of making hardship, the word hardship, definite. Definite implies that it is specific, it is limited, it is confined. Whereas ease is not confined, it is limitless. And if you look at your life, the days that you are sick, the days that are sad, the days that are bad, those are limited days. Whereas the easy days, the days you are healthy, the days where you're happy, those are the days where we can't count those days. Those days seem that's the norm. So Allah is saying that the difficulty is a very confined, limited few moments in your life, whereas the rest of your life is ease. Also, obviously, this ayah is saying that with difficulty, immediately will become ease. That immediately after difficulty will follow ease. And if we go into a further, more detailed look from a grammatical perspective, the inna, fa inna, this word inna means verily. And it is attached to the subject of the sentence. If you look at this, the structure of the sentence, the subject of the sentence, the subject of inna is yusra, ease. Meaning the subject and the context of the sentence is ease and not difficulty. So to translate this more correctly, Allah is saying, verily with countless ease comes some difficulty. With countless ease, Allah repeats it, comes some difficulty. And it's a very difficult look at this ayah. Allah is saying, life is all up, you know, your life in general is easy, and there will come a few difficult days with it. And obviously the purpose of repetition is an affirmation, a reminder to the Prophet ﷺ and any depressed person, don't feel bad. the bad days will come. Yes, it's normal, it's natural, but they will also go, and the default is ease. So whenever you're feeling down, know that just around the corner, good times will come, and that it is part of life that we go through a little bit of difficulty, but in general, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants ease for us. فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْأُسْرِ يُسْرًا فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. So now Allah, once again, like in Surah Al-Duha, after Allah has mentioned His favors and gave comfort to the Prophet ﷺ, Allah is now calling the Nabi ﷺ to an action. And Allah is saying, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ, that when you have completed or when you have become free, فَانْصَبْ, stand up. And a number of interpretations here are applicable. Number one, it could mean once you have, you know, you've overcome the sadness and this depression of yours, now stand up, have the confidence, have the courage, basically get out of your funk and go and do your job. Have the courage and the strength, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with you. Wa ila rabbika farghab, your longing and all your needs and all your concerns, turn to Allah and Allah will suffice you. That's the one interpretation. The other interpretation is, subhanallah, the Prophet ﷺ, this would be his daily routine. He would go out and do his task, which is of course calling people to Islam, guiding his community, and obviously in Mecca in particular, he was receiving tremendous amount of abuse and persecution and insults, and this would physically and emotionally really hurt him. So Allah says that once you have gone out and you've gone through this difficult experience during the day, fansab, in the evenings, fansab, stand up, meaning in salah, and you will find comfort and strength in your salah. That Allah, his relationship with Allah was one that, subhanAllah, you know, for us, salah is a burden, unfortunately. Salah is a task that we, you know, we force ourselves to do, whereas the Prophet ﷺ, he loved performing salah. The thing he enjoyed the most in his day was salah. That when his life became difficult, he would ask Bilal, you know, make the adhan so that I could be alleviated. And why? Because to him, Allah was his most beloved. And when you're in the company of the one you love the most, that person or that relationship takes away all your hardship. So Allah says that you go out, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do your job, and then in the evenings come and make salah, and then we will be together again. Wa ila rabbika farghab, and to your Lord direct all your cravings, all your desire, all your love, all your everything that your heart desires, turn it to me, you know, and I will give that to you. So go and do the job. And whatever baggage they put on you, at night you come to me and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be there. This reminds us again that in depression, Allah ends by the surah by telling us, and to the Prophet ﷺ, and to all of us that go through a hardship, Allah is the constant in our life. Yes, good times will come, bad times will come. Health, sickness, wealth, poverty, friends will come and go, loved ones will come and go, but the constant in our life is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we put, you know, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our focus and as our major concern, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the central figure in our life, our life is built on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our relationship with Him, then no matter what happens, we will always be able to raise our hands, Allahu Akbar, and return back to Him. If Allah is our safe place, so to say, then we have nothing to really fear. Then we don't have, no depression will become too much for us to handle. Because to get away, to escape from our depression, is just to raise our hands and say, Allahu Akbar, as the Prophet ﷺ did. And subhanAllah, after the surah, after these two chapters, Surah Duha and Surah Alam Nashrah, the Prophet ﷺ, you know, once again found that comfort, that the duha, the morning daybreak came back, the night disappeared, and the day came, and the Prophet soon continued his mission, and we know, alhamdulillah, we are the products and the result of his efforts, and we are the results of his actions and his success. Ameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us, and Allah, ask Allah to put the love for the Prophet, you know, for him in our hearts. This burden that he carried was really us and our future and our destiny in Qiyamah. This was the thing that burdened him the most, that broke his heart so much, was our well-being. So we put praise and salutation on him and on his family, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate the difficulty of all those who are going through hardship, all those who are going through depression, and for us here in the Western Cape in particular, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and return the reins to us. Ameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa sallim wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.